Welcome back, dear listeners, to another enchanting episode of the Witchcrafty Wellness Podcast, your portal to a world of magic and spiritual discovery. I'm your host, Robin, and today we're embarking on an exciting journey into the world of tarot reading. If you've ever been curious about these intriguing cards or wanted to give tarot a try, you're in the right place. Today we're going to explore the fundamentals of tarot and guide you how to get started on your very own readings. First, I want to give you a little bit of the history of tarot and how it came to be the divination tool that we use today. Tarot originally was a game called Tarot Trumps, which gained its popularity during the medieval period of Renaissance Italy. The images depicted in the cards show a very strong influence of Christianity, which showcases the world that they were living in during this time. Because the game was based on Christian teachings, it was used for spreading the word of Christ and not for divination. The tarot trumps that came from this game would become the major arcana. In 1909, a publisher named William Ryder and a popular mystic named A.E. Watt commissioned Pamela Smith to illustrate their deck, the Ryder Watt. This helped bring about the rise of the 20th century occult tarot use by mystical readers. The Ryder Watt deck was designed for divination. It included a book that explained much of the esoteric meaning behind the imagery. Tarot continued to advance in its popularities over the years, and now, today, is a highly regarded divination tool that many mystics use to guide their intuition and help others in their journey to self-discovery. Believe it or not, every oracle deck and tarot deck that has been created since then has been a derivative of the Ryder Watt deck. So to begin your tarot journey, I recommend you go out and find a tarot deck that resonates with you. I personally really love the Ryder Watt deck, as it is one of the most beginner-friendly decks. You don't need to have a super crazy grasp of the cards in order to look for symbolism within them. The Ryder Watt deck consists of 78 cards divided between the major and minor arcana. The major arcana cards are like the big players in the tarot deck. Each card represents significant life events, archetypes, and spiritual lessons. Let's explore some of these cards and what they signify. First off, an easy way to determine which is a major and which is a minor arcana is by noticing either a name or a number on the card. If it has a name, it is a major arcana. If it has a number, usually in Roman numerals, it is a minor arcana. Let's begin with one of my favorite cards, the Lovers. Now, there's a lot of symbolism in this card, as there is in all of the tarot cards, but I'm going to break down some of the symbolism for you and then give you an overview of what the card means. So in the picture, there are a man and a woman standing nude toward one another. Above them is an angel. Behind each man and woman, there is a different type of tree. There is a sun and clouds in the background as well. So I'm going to start with the sun. It is a big, bright yellow sun, and this sun really represents like a dawning, like the time has come. And if you just denote from the word the Lovers and then the sun being the dawn has come, it's basically saying now is the time, love is in the air. So even just from that alone, you can get a good idea of what this card is all about, but I'm going to go into a little bit more of the symbolism. So the angel standing above them typically is revered as Archangel Raphael, who, as you can tell, is the god of air based on the clouds that are represented at the base of him. Air is also representative of the heart chakra. So that just continues to affirm that this card is about love and compassion for one another. And he's got green and red flames. in his hair, and this represents the subconscious and the conscious mind, showing that these two aspects are working together. Flames are also a symbol of passion. The red of the angel's wings represent transformation, represents safety and security. Typically, what these wings are trying to share is that with this love that's being forged, new life is going to be created. Looking at the man and the woman, you can see they're on equal ground, saying that they are an equal partnership. No one is better or worse than the other. Both completely in their nudity means that they're vulnerable and ready to just be 100% themselves with one another. Interestingly enough, the man looks to the woman. However, the woman has her gaze raised toward the angel. So the man represents the conscious thinking mind, whereas the woman represents the subconscious mind. The angel, of course, representing the subconscious mind or the universal mind. And it's the implication here that the masculine principle of intellect cannot reach spirit directly. He must go through the feminine subconscious mind of emotion. Let's talk about the trees that they both stand in front of. The man is standing in front of the tree of life. It is a black tree. It is covered in 12 flames, which most tarot readers believe to be the 12 zodiac signs. The woman stands in front of a tree as well. She stands in front of the tree of knowledge of good and evil from the Garden of Eden. So based on that alone, you can safely assume that the man and the woman depicted in the image are considered to be Adam and Eve, or the first lovers, you know, to ever exist. The red fruit are obviously the forbidden fruits that Adam and Eve were told not to eat. There are four of them, and this usually refers to the elements. So fire, water, air, and earth. And lastly, the green serpent on the trunk of the tree is basically whispering in Eve's ear, and snakes are traditionally associated with sexual energy. Lastly, let's discuss the mountain in the background. Mountains are usually symbolic of a higher sexual awareness. However, this can also be an image to depict how love can make us feel, aka like we're on the peak of a mountaintop. Based on the symbolism for this card, we can determine that it's pretty much all about love. However, depending on the type of reading that you're doing, that is going to determine which aspects of this card you're going to share. So for example, if someone comes in and they're getting a love reading, of course, this is a very positive sign that the relationship, that the love is going to be positive. However, if someone comes in for a work or career reading, potentially you might talk about a strong partnership, two people that are on equal footing, that are comfortable sharing with one another to essentially find success. I'm going to go over one more major arcana card just so you can get an idea for how this symbolism works and how you can use it in your own readings. So the next card I want to go over is the Chariot, and this card has a lot of symbolism in it, so much that I'm only going to go over some of the key symbols so you get an idea, starting with the Chariot itself, which holds a very strong warrior, and this just represents the power that comes with victory. Okay, the Chariot is often drawn with two sphinxes, one black and one white, representing the opposing forces of light and dark, feminine and masculine, yin and yang. These two sphinxes that pull the Chariot represent those opposing forces that must be balanced in order for us to be successful. Going a little bit more into that warrior, the warrior in the card really represents willpower and our determination to succeed. He is clearly prepared for battle with the armor that he's wearing. The wand he holds represents the power of creative force, really showcasing that we are in control of our destiny. We are in control of our reality based on the actions we choose to take. On his lapel, there are two crescent moons. These represent the power of intuition and the unconscious mind, which must be harnessed in order for us to reach our goals. Lastly, the stars that appear on the kind of curtainy part of the chariot symbolize our spiritual selves, our journey to enlightenment. The victory we achieve in the chariot is not just a physical one, but a spiritual one. So easily, with that symbolism in mind, we can determine what the chariot card means overall. The chariot really represents a journey towards achieving your goals, but also the ups and downs that come with it, that inner conflicting emotions, the inner turmoil, but also a need for direction, a need for perseverance, and the significance that we create our own journeys. So, if someone comes in and they're feeling quite lost and they don't know what to do with their life, this is a great card that's going to showcase, really taking control and making those decisions and making those difficult sacrifices so that you can reach success. If someone comes in and they're looking for love, this card can suggest that they need to take control of their emotion and focus on those goals so that they are ready to embrace the new challenges and experiences that come with a relationship. The minor arcana cards provide more specific insights into daily life. They are divided into four suits: wands, cups, swords, and pentacles. Each suit has its own set of meanings and represents different aspects of life. Before I get into a few cards and their specific symbolism, I wanted to mention what each suit means. The cups are representative of emotion. So when you receive a cup card, it usually has something to do with your emotional side. Wands are a card of action. So when a wand card comes up, usually that means whatever it is happening quite quickly for you. Swords have to do with the mind, usually a mental aspect. And pentacles often have everything to do with the material world and/or your financials. So the first card we're going to go over is the Four of Wands. And this card, as you can tell from the image, is a very happy card. It looks like a celebration of sorts. I am going to go over some of the main symbols in this card and explain their meaning just so you can have an idea of what. Just so you can have an idea of how you might interpret this card when doing a reading yourself. The first card we're going to go into is the Four of Wands. And simply by looking at the cards, you can tell that there's some sort of celebration going on. I want to talk about the key elements here. First, the proportions. So the wands are quite large, they're in the foreground, and the people are quite small, they're in the background. This can be considered a warning that something's preventing you from reaching your goal, that you maybe are getting a little bit lost in translation. The wands themselves are in a position of power here. It is wide open though, so if you just want to get through them, you can. It is a gate, but you can walk through if that's what your intention dictates. The two people in the background symbolize company, cheerful relationships, whether they're friendships, love interests, perhaps somebody new in your life. They're just someone that you can trust, someone who's really lovely to spend time with. There are beautiful flowers, flower garland, and fruits in this image. It really just symbolizes celebration, joy, renewal, just lots of great things, pleasure of life. Lastly, I want to talk about the number on this card. So obviously it's a four of wands. And when you look at the number four in the numerology world, this is really associated with stability, predictability. It's also related to the four elements as well. So fire, water, air, and earth. You'll see that theme quite often in the cards as well. And so from all of these symbols, you can really get a good idea for this card. It symbolizes that everything's going really well. Things are feeling really good at this point. Maybe you've just recovered from some sort of hardship. You've made it through the gate. You're ready to move on to your next stage. But this is also a card reminding us that we need to celebrate those small successes. Get together with those friends that you trust and lift each other up. Celebrate the small things, even if they seem small. So again, if someone comes in and they're looking for example, a love reading, and this card comes up, this means that your relationship is really stable. Things are going really, really well for you. And it also means that chances are it's going to end in marriage, right? We have this big celebration that comes with the end of that love. If someone comes in and they're looking for a work reading, for example, this can show that you're going to have a lot of harmony with the people that you work with. You are going to accomplish your goals and you're going to get together in the end and reflect and celebrate on the successes that you've had. The last minor arcana card I'm going to go over is the Five of Cups. So in this image, we've got a woman in a dark cloak. There's a few cups laying strewn on the ground and a couple cups that are upright. So I'm just going to go over some of the key symbols so that you can use this in your reading. The attitude and the clothing of this individual in the picture really show this kind of emptiness, this sadness, maybe uncertainty. This person is looking down and focusing on those empty cups that are in front of him. This is typically, and I'm just gonna shed some light on this, this typically shows that victim mentality. I'm focused only on the pain. I'm focused only on the sadness that is happening in my life right now. There's also some red liquid, maybe wine or juice, on the ground around those three fallen cups. And usually this represents the thing that you are stuck on, whether it is something to be mourned or something to feel sad about. This is representative of that. There are also two cups behind the figure that still stand upright and, from what we can tell, are still full. And these represent spiritual and also material prosperity. So the key thing to think about here in this particular card is, where is the focus of this individual? The person is very much focused on the pain, the sorrow, you know, that victimhood that I talked about, when there are clearly still things in this person's life to be grateful for. There are new opportunities, new ideas, new chances, new goals. This person literally just needs to turn around to see them. So this really gives a very solid idea of what this card represents. Perhaps this person just lost a loved one. Perhaps their relationship is ending, or they lost their job or something like that. And they're very much focused on the pain and sorrow. Okay, that doesn't mean that it's not supposed to be felt. This is basically a card that's signifying not to spend too much time in that victimhood, in that sorrow place. We want to also see all of the bounty, all of the beautifulness that life has to offer, which is symbolized in the two cups behind the figure. So again, if someone comes in for I don't know what to do with my life. Everything's really sucky right now. This is a card that reminds them that yes, everything can feel really sucky and it's okay to be there for a little bit and do your mourning and feel the sadness. But remember, there's still all of this beautifulness, this bounty behind you to remember and partake in. Now, for example, if someone were to come in again looking for maybe a relationship or a work meeting, it's just a reminder that, maybe you've suffered a setback, but there is still so much to be grateful for. There's so many beautiful things. There is new ideas on the horizon for you. Once you've familiarized yourself with the cards, it's time to learn about spreads. Tarot spreads are the patterns in which the cards are laid out. We're going to discuss a simple three-card spread to get you started. A little piece of advice when creating spreads is not to get hung up on what the placement of the cards represents. So in this particular spread, we have three cards. The first laid meaning past, the second laid meaning present, and the last laid meaning future. And this is just a really simple spread for getting an idea of what someone's gone through, where they're at now, and if they continue on this path, where they might head in the future. Now, even though it's laid out in this way, just because a card is in the past placement doesn't necessarily mean that's what the cards want to tell you. So sometimes that can actually be something you're going through now or something that literally just happened yesterday. So try not to get hung up on the placement of the cards. Continue to read the cards using the symbolism and your intuition as you would without any guidance. Which leads me into the last component of tarot reading, the most important, arguably, which is your intuition. The magic of tarot truly lies in your own intuition. Trust your inner guidance and let your intuition flow as you interpret the cards. The more that you practice, the more accurate and connected your readings will become. A beautiful way of connecting deeper to your intuition is through meditation. I often find meditating and coming to a place of centeredness before my readings is a really fantastic way of connecting to myself so that I can provide the best guidance possible. One final caveat for reading tarot. It is super crucial to act with integrity when doing a reading for someone and never provide advice that you are not willing to take responsibility for. I want to be clear. No matter how someone chooses to interpret your advice, you hold a piece of responsibility and accountability for their actions. That does not mean that you need to lie awake at night and think about all the potential ways that somebody could take your advice wrong and therefore you're going to be on the hook for something. No. Providing the guidance from the cards and then asking them questions to help them come to a solution on their own is going to save you from creating unrealistic expectations. Before my readings, I always preface by saying that this potential, this end result that we're seeing in the tarot cards is only if you continue in this same trajectory. But know that you have free will and you can make changes however you wish and see a different outcome. Just to illustrate my point, I'm going to give an example that I heard from one of my clients. A woman came in and was very worried about having a tarot session with me because in the past she had had a tarot session where the person told her that she was going to die in 3 years. First of all, I would never tell anyone that they were going to die in a tarot reading. One, it's not realistic. It's definitely not what the cards are saying, no matter how the cards are laid out. And two, it's really not acting with integrity or considering how this person might feel or take this news. Typically, when people come in for a tarot reading, they are coming in from a place of vulnerability. And so we need to take responsibility for what shows up in a reading and how we are presenting that material to our clients in order to keep them safe, in order to ensure that they are getting the most out of this reading and are able to, moving forward, come up with solutions and not consistently rely on outside advice. Tarot reading should empower your clients to live a more fulfilled life with a little bit of guidance. And there you have it, our beginner's guide to unlocking the world of tarot. It's a tool that can offer insight, reflection, and empowerment. Embrace the mysteries and don't hesitate to explore the world of tarot readings. It's a journey worth taking. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Witchcrafty Wellness Podcast. As always, keep the magic alive and stay tuned for more mystical adventures. Until next time, stay enchanted, my friends.